from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime.
Just download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Say W-E-E-I is a favorite and listen wherever you go.
Now, more of the Greg Hill Show
on W-E-E-I.
Red Sox walked off last night, game one of a series that they, I don't want to overstate the importance of it, but I will. They need to win this series or I'm out. They go into it 3.5 out of that. And by the way, it's also the final wild card. Like that's what we're supposed to be excited about, is they're 3.5 out on the final wild card and they get walked off last night, blow two different leads last night in that game last night, Curtis?
Every single game, they open with a lead, it feels like, and they've been losing at least half of them since the deadline. Since the All-Star break.
8:10 first pitch tonight here on WEEI, all across the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network, and, of course, on the Odyssey app. Listen to every single Red Sox game on the Odyssey app. If you haven't downloaded the app, you should do so now. It's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Then you can listen to us every morning from wherever you happen to be. Or you can listen to us every afternoon or at night whenever you have the time. One lead left and it's mine. And yesterday, the Methuen school system instituted a new policy and some parents are losing their S over it. Methuen, as an entire school district, has banned the use of cell phones for kids.
Good job.
Calling them addictive and disruptive to learning. So
I'd agree with that.
I don't know. Is that the way you feel about it?
Yep. Ban cell phones and implement uniforms. That's what I would do.
Wow, hardo.
Well, because, you know, then everybody...
What's the uniform thing, though?
Because everybody's wearing the same thing. Nobody feels like they're, you know, it doesn't turn into a fashion show. Kids ain't getting clowned because of it.
Why should kids have to be made fun of because they can't afford other clothes?
Hey, Curtis, listen, why does it get cold in the wintertime?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
I thought you was asking me that.
No, I'm saying...
ready to fight with you.
No, I thought you were asking me that question.
I'm a pacifist. Mm-hmm. I would just say, in general, I never had them growing up, but, you know, I would be all for it.
Yeah, I didn't wear uniforms when I went to school, but I have no issue with it.
In the Twitch chat, and you can watch this show every day on Twitch. Thank you to those of you who do. Just go to Twitch and follow WEEI. Somebody is calling you an old geezer for your opinion.
It might seem that way, but I just think like it's really about educating the kids, right? And getting them to understand what the real world is like. When they don't wear uniforms, girls wear whatever, and boys roll out of bed and throw pajama pants on and Crocs and don't, you know, and they look, you're not going to be able to do that when you get a real job.
It's not about that, though. It's about the fact that kids feel like they need to wear certain things to school, and wearing a uniform takes that out of it. The fact that you can just focus on school and not about what you're wearing every single day. I wore a uniform my entire life, basically, till I got to college, and I loved it because it took that aspect out of schooling. I just don't know why we need to take kids' cell phones away instead of just going back to the time. Like, I had a cell phone when I was in high school, and I got disciplined if I had it out. Like, if I got caught on my cell phone, it was then taken away. Why do you need to take it away from all kids who maybe have it as a security blanket in their pocket, in their backpack? I just think that...
It's a security blanket for what?
In the day and age that we live in, there's terrible things that happen in schools every single day. And so
we had more shootings in schools since cell phones became more widespread?
I don't think one correlates to the other.
It doesn't. I'm just saying that it hasn't precluded or made anybody more safe.
If I'm a kid in school, I'm just saying I would want to be able to reach out to my parents immediately if, God forbid, something were to happen. And if my parents were at work and found out that something was going on in my school, they would want to be able to reach out to me.
Well, I think that's why Methuen parents are upset.
So I understand where they're coming from. It's just cell phones are not new.
But that's an excuse, though.
No, it's not.
What's more likely to happen?
Can I just finish?
Go ahead.
When I was in school... Everyone had a cell phone.
Right.
Nobody took them out because teachers disciplined us and kids did not talk back. There needs to
Phones when you were in school were totally different than they are now.
No, they were not, Curtis.
Of course they were.
No, they were not. I had an iPhone my senior year of high school. They were not different.
You had the iPhone 1.
It doesn't matter. I still have social media. I had Twitter.
It was like...
What are you talking...
Courtney, are you serious?
Are you serious?
It was MySpace and...
Wait, are you serious? Jackson, are you serious?
It was like MySpace and iPhone 1. You could barely... do anything.
No, okay. I'm sorry that you guys lived in the dark ages.
No.
But when I was in high school and college, I didn't have my cell phone out because I got in trouble.
You were in the dark ages.
Go back to those times.
What's more likely to
happen?
Don't
let kids run them up.
Courtney, what's more likely to happen with cell phones nowadays in school? That the kid's going to use it to call his parents because there's a shooting in school, or there are more kids in school that are going to use it to videotape crazy stuff.
Or bully people online.
Bully people online. Fights in the bathroom. Videotape crazy thing that these kids are doing nowadays.
You guys are acting like bullying is new. Bullying has always been a thing. You want to bring up MySpace? MySpace, anonymous box. That was on everybody's MySpace.
Right.
You could write something mean to somebody and they didn't know who it came from.
Of course.
That's been going on forever, but I just don't think that you should take away something from everybody because of a few
I just think it's so silly to think that if there is an active shooter, that grabbing your phone and calling your parents would be the thing to do anyway.
Curtis, you have a child.
Of course.
If in 10 years James is at school and something bad happens at the school, you are going to want to reach out to him immediately.
No, I'm going to want to have the people that are in charge that I have entrusted with his safety take care of him.
All right, then you and I are much different. When I have a child,
your parents do from their office that would help you?
Reassurance? Have you not seen the text messages that have come out from people that have been at all the terrible school shootings, reaching out to their parents and their parents saying, okay, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. If I'm a parent, I want to be able to have that comfort in reassuring my child when I'm scared to death to try to calm them down.
Right, but Courtney, you just said for the few bad apples that do things on the cell phone versus being able to call your parents. What's more likely, like I said, when you have a school shooting and a kid calling his parent or kids being distracted because of cell phones?
A 508 texter says Courtney is absolutely right on this. It has nothing to do with the kind of phone. It is the kids nowadays who get away with everything and you can't discipline them. Like, why can't you just do what Courtney's saying and say there's, you know, you're in trouble, you get detention.
Yeah.
If you're caught
because you can't
your...
do that no
well,
more.
Well, you should get back to that. We should get back to that.
You can't give a kid detention.
We should get back to that.
Courtney, the problem with that, the reason why we can't get back to that is because we live in a sensitive world.
Okay, so you're going to take away people's cell phones?
No, you can't expel a kid. You can't barely suspend a kid. You can't give a kid detention because then the parents run in and go, listen, my kid, and believe me, I'm with you on certain things, but these parents nowadays, they enable my kid can't be in detention. He has ADHD. He has this. He
okay,
has that.
Wiggy, you always go to that. Like but ADHD isn't new either.
But that's the world we live
no,
in.
No, but okay, but that's
people
an issue.
Use that as a
that's
crutch.
An issue.
No, yep. A lot of people use it as a crutch, and what happens is a lot of these kids who go to school, they know they can get away with murder because they're not getting disciplined.
And what about this text 774? As a teacher, we had lockdowns, real threats, and we didn't want the kids to pull their phones out. We needed silence and complete darkness. Mm. Phones would have led the shooters right to us.
Right.
Absolutely no.
Well, if that's the case and you're concerned about your kid and him going to school, give the kid a damn flip phone.
Okay.
And all
well,
he
that's fine.
Right.
That's fine.
I think that's perfect. 911
yeah,
only.
Give yeah. them a flip phone.
Flip phone 911 and his, the way for him to call his mother or father or
Bingo.
Guardian.
Great.
But the
well, there are some, like when you hear those who have studied the anxiety that young adults have.
That's the problem.
They say that one of the things that you can do is give your kid a flip phone until they're 16.
Perfect.
And then they don't have to deal with the social media stuff, the internet bullying. If they need to call you because the practice, you know, got changed to a different time after school or
right.
whatever, they can do that.
But you know what happens, Greg? What do you think the kid's going to do when he gets home from school with his flip phone? Ma, all the kids are making fun of me because I got a flip phone.
Yeah.
You know, can you please get
okay,
me an
iPhone?
Then you
like,
say, suck
like
it up,
you
Buttercup.
Say, yeah, like you say, you're moving the goalposts.
Yeah, but you can't, Courtney, the way we raise our kids, that it's too sensitive. You can't do it. It's too
that's a different conversation
but
than
no,
what we're
but
having
that's
right
part
now.
Part of it, though.
Hold on. Dan is a teacher, real quick. Hey, Dan.
Good morning, guys, and Courtney, how are you?
Hey. Hi, good morning.
So, you know, this is tricky because, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm at the elementary. Right now, but you know, a couple years ago in southern Maine, we had a hoax shooter, and you wouldn't believe the amount of messages that that parents got from kids that are that were inside, you know, barricading doors. Me personally, I'm only 33 years old. I do think that, you know, phones should be banned in schools. I can't tell you how many times when I was a substitute teacher, there was a kid that didn't like the fact that I was there because I was a substitute. He texts his parents, hey, can you come pick me up? And within 5 minutes, you know, excuse me, Johnny's being dismissed. I'm like,
serious?
What?
Yeah.
Really?
I can't tell you how many times, yes. And the amount of kids, and I teach younger kids, that have phones that their parents text them during the day is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right. So it does happen. I'm all for banning you know, cell phones, and Wiggy, I agree with you. You can't discipline kids like you used to anymore. You try to give them detention, both the kid and the parent will laugh at you. You raise your voice at the kid, both the kid and the parent will laugh at you. So it's a totally different ballgame.
Wow.
So it's a tricky situation.
Yeah, I guess
well,
so.
Greg, the only reason why I feel that way is because when you think of, like, I understand there's school shootings.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like plane crashes, right? So what you're saying is we're going to give these kids phones to because, oh, I'm concerned of a school shooting, but they're more likely to cause havoc and other things that happen on a daily basis, distractions, texting other people.
Yeah.
That, to me, is more of the kind of majority of the way that the cell phone is being utilized in the school versus once every, you know, hopefully blue moon where they have to text their mom and say, hey, I'm all right.
All right. Well, the Methuen school system has instituted a no cell phone policy, and some, like Courtney and others, are upset by that. I was just thinking, if we instituted a uniform policy on this show, as you were advocating for in schools, that might mean that I would not be mocked and ridiculed for my choice of footwear or polo shirts.
Yeah. Well, so you might not be able to wear flip-flops.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is that that might be... Do I have to explain everything? Ooh. I feel, Curtis, sometimes I feel like I'm very concise when I'm explaining.
No, not really. No.
You are. But my favorite yesterday was Greg's sharing. So I sent a story about Tua. Then I sent another couple stories. Then Wiggy sent the story about Tua. And then Greg sent the story about Tua. And we were wondering if Wiggy even noticed the joke, but I don't know if he did.
No, I didn't.
I don't think he did.
Yeah, I mean,
we have like a group chat where we send things to each other all day long and night long. And Curtis sent the Tua story over at, I don't know, 3 o'clock. And then like an hour later, Wiggy sent the same exact story.
Well, that happens all the time. I send stories and then they get sent right back.
As soon as Wiggy sent it, I sent the same exact story.
Huh.
He didn't even notice. Yeah. I mean, he may have thumbed up it. A thumb up emojied it. I don't know. All right. Anyway, we're going to get to They Said It Late coming up next. But right now, here is Courtney and what is trending.
Gresh and Fourier, weekdays 10 to 2. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox dropped their first against the Astros, a walk-off homer from Yainer Diaz for Houston's 5-4 win. Tanner Houck went 6 innings, giving up 2 runs on 8 hits while striking out 8. They've got another one in Houston tonight. First pitch at 8:10 with Nick Pivetta on the mound. You can hang out with Rich Keefe at 7:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Tyler Murray have the call in the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and as always on the Odyssey app. And just to put a stop to the text messages, Deshaun Watson was also dangled over Tua Tagovailoa's head during those seasons with Brian Flores. So he was another one. Why people are saying you're not bringing up Deshaun Watson. That was also another one.
Please never use the name Deshaun Watson and dangled in the same sentence. Please.
Fair.
Based on previous occurrences.
Yeah, you're right. Players are off for Patriots today as this week is being treated as a game week leading up to Sunday's preseason finale. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. You can upgrade to a local partner, upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 60 degrees and cloudy. A bit of rain coming up, but then going to be partly cloudy in the low 70s this afternoon.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Make a habit of it.
The Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Coming up at 7:45 or thereabouts, the news with Courtney, and that includes Florida, not like the rest of us, and the case of assault and battery by ravioli. So we will get to that and other things during the news. I just heard during the break from my personal favorite candidate for Teacher of the Year in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Julia Hill, my daughter, regular listener of this program, because she has to, and
the brains of the family.
Correct. And at her school in East Boston, they have Yonder pouches.
Love it.
For the kids' cell phones, which the kids keep, they're locked. The kids keep the cell phone with them.
In the bag?
In the bag. So should there be an emergency, then... So Methuen has banned the use of cell phones because they're addictive and disruptive to learning, and the school system has angered some parents by instituting that policy. And so there's another way, I guess, of doing it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I love
it. The kids, they have that phone with them if they need it.
And let me just be clear, because the Twitch or the text line today is very angry, and I've kind of had it. I'm not saying that people should be able to have their cell phones so they can continue to be on TikTok and social media. I know that there's this narrative out there that I'm just on my phone the entire time and I just love social media so much I can't get enough. Well, it's actually not the case if you actually know me.
Normally when you're on your phone, you're shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. I want these kids to have their cell phones for safety purposes, not for the other stuff. I think social media is bad for a lot of kids. I don't think kids younger than, you know, 16 should be on any type of social media. I just think that there is a way in which to do this that isn't taking away every single kid's cell phone, because there are some kids who rely on it not for social media.
And I think you make great points. In all of my interactions with the people that came of age during this time of social media and cell phones, cannot look you in the eye, cannot hold a conversation. We need to encourage and maybe even make a necessary component of our education system, young people looking at other people and talking to them as much as possible. I'm serious.
I agree with you.
How many people do you see walking down the street of Southie just right into a pole? Right. They're not even...
I don't know. We're getting deep into this, but I don't know that that's the school's responsibility. Like, where are the parents? Right.
The school is... it's about the safety of the kids in the school. And what happens with...
But you shouldn't have to teach a child how to interact with other human beings.
No, I don't...
Like, and it's... Curtis is spot on. Like... People don't know how, because they do it all on their phone or online or text. They don't know how to interact with other human beings.
But that's the parents' fault, because when you're sitting there at dinner and everybody's on their cell phone, that's on the family.
Do people even have dinner together anymore?
Like, but that's sad to see.
But that's the parents' fault.
We used to have to be home for dinner every single night. And everybody used to have dinner together. And
who had second dinner with you?
Well, I liked Fridays because it was always pizza night, to be honest with you, Curtis.
You feel like doubles?
I feel like you can define families in America in either of two ways. They are either pizza on Friday night or pizza on Sunday night families. That's my...
Oh, is that where you were?
Yes. We were pizza on Friday.
We were Sunday
pasta.
We were Sunday pastas at somebody's house.
Sunday night, we were Cornish game hens. My mom, Susan Hill, made the Cornish game hens every Sunday night. That was her go-to.
Wow.
Got sick of them after a couple years, but whatever.
And I wish I had a cell phone during some of those Sunday dinners, because it was maddening.
I like to, during dinner, everybody put their cell phone in the center, pile them on top, so you can't even see when you get a notification.
Uh-huh. Well, you see people, like, you go to dinner with somebody, and they're on their phone the entire time.
I hate it.
All right. We got to get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And where should we begin this morning, Jackson?
We begin with Curtis's guy, Tom Brady, giving some advice for rookie quarterbacks in the NFL.
There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program. You're learning a playbook. And the program is ultimately, like at Michigan, for me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years, I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England, and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play.
Okay, Wiggy.
Yeah?
Well, Tom Brady calling you out when it comes to Drake May.
Right.
And do you agree? Do you think the game has been dumbed down?
Yeah.
So that rookie quarterbacks can start? Is that a bad thing?
Well, I think the game is just dumbed down in general. You know, I would disagree with him on the sense that it's not just about quarterbacks. I think it's everything. Every position, they're trying to, you know, it's just the guys, for whatever reason, and it starts probably in college, like everything, they don't huddle in college no more. So everything's done from the sideline. So by the time you get to the pros, it's like you're teaching a kid how to walk. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're not used to doing it. And so, yeah, everything's dumbed down. I agree with him on that. But that's the way the college game is nowadays, because the turnover with coaches are 2-3 years.
One thing that Brady's missing out, though, Greg, is one of the big tenets of Belichick. Do business as business is being done.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL has dumbed down the offense. They have made it much easier to be successful. All the penalties have been tilted towards supporting scoring. So you just do what everybody's been doing. They're not going to change the way playbooks are now.
Right.
So if you don't, my question to Brady would be, then who would you start in this current NFL?
Right.
Jacoby Brissett or Drake May?
It sounds to me like he might choose to start Jacoby Brissett for this season.
And we'd be like, damn, that's a dumb move, Tom.
Well, but again, you know, maybe Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo and Robert Kraft, whoever has input, have decided that they want to give Drake May a year to get the full NFL quarterback experience under his belt.
And for the people that are trying to extrapolate what Brady said into saying Belichick created him, I would just ask, if Bill could make quarterbacks, why did he only make one?
Well, you only need one. The one he made was pretty good.
Right, but why wouldn't you make another?
Well, not everybody's built like Brady.
Here's a 617 texter who says, Tom Brady is turning into a back-in-my-day guy.
Mm-hmm.
Say it ain't so, I hate to see it.
That's why Greg likes him now.
Well, what happens to all of us?
I would ask Tom, what would Drake May get from sitting behind Jacoby Brissett for a year? What would he get out of that?
He gets a year without the intense pressure that being a starting quarterback is. He gets to watch Jacoby Brissett prepare the way an NFL quarterback prepares week to week.
But it's not like you're learning from Brady. You're learning from a backup quarterback that is just like, all right, you're learning from a guy that's been a backup, that's been in the league. The only thing he really learns is, okay, how to be a professional. But is that worth sitting a guy for a year? You can learn. You could still play and still learn how to be a professional from the Jacoby Brissett who's in the meeting room with you every single day.
781 texter on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937, says Wiggy is right. The whole entire game has been dumbed down.
Yeah. So a lot of young guys can play in this era. And because
you can come right out of college, you could be, I mean, Mac Jones is a poor example, but basically played his senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come right out of college, and with a dumbed down NFL offense, then you can start as a freshman having 1 year starting experience in college.
Yeah, how many 4 year starters do you see in college?
None.
That come to the NFL? You look at even the best quarterbacks that are, like, we consider.
Trevor Lawrence was there, only three.
No, well, but I'm saying, like, Joe Burrow wasn't very good until his senior year.
Right. I mean, and the other thing is, I hate to say this, but high school football today is far more intricate in terms of offensive game plans than when Tom Brady played in high school.
Yeah.
You could also make the argument that they've elevated the passing game at an earlier age, so the learning curve isn't as steep as it once was. I mean, outside of the Naval Academy in West Point, how many schools play a wishbone or option offense in college football?
Yeah, you could
it used to be all over the place.
Yeah, you could make that argument from high school to college, but then when you get to college to the pros, that's when they kind of dumb it down a little bit.
All right, what is next, Jackson?
Oh, speaking of dumbed down offense, Matt Judon talked about why he never got a deal done with the
Patriots.
What do
you mean by speaking of dumbed down offense?
The Patriots have a dumbed down offense. I was making a stupid joke, little segue kind of thing. Didn't work. Sorry.
Oh.
Here's Matthew Judon.
Why didn't the deal get done?
I don't know. I feel like we just never sat down and really came to the table as men. So I think that's the biggest point.
Okay, they never sat down. I think he said they never sat down man to man. They were texting. They were never meeting. I mean,
Which is crazy, because didn't he have a sit-down, face-to-face meeting with Gerard Mayo? Didn't that happen?
He did.
Mm-hmm. So
I thought he submitted a whole proposal on what his deal would look like. I don't know. I think Matthew Judon, unfortunately, is expecting that there's going to be a massive hue and outcry from New England fans that he's not here. But I just don't, unfortunately.
Mayo told us what it was.
Yeah.
He wanted a new contract. They didn't want to give him one. That's it. He probably said, here's what I'm looking to get. And they were like, well, okay. But you're playing under what you have.
Speaking of bad contracts, Greg.
I think it's kind of time for him to move on, Matthew Judon.
Yeah, that tweet was kind of douchey.
The heartbroken one?
Yeah, how do you tweet with a broken heart or something?
Yeah.
Like, dude.
All right, what's next?
We finished with baseball. Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Chris Bassitt about all the money that they were going to give to Shohei had he decided to come there.
The one thing I will say about the Blue Jays for this year, we put, I think, $700 million into Shohei Ohtani's basket and didn't get him. That was the reality. And then I think our pivot was we really didn't have a pivot to, like, say, another elite player.
Sounds like excuse making to me, but okay. I mean, there were a lot of teams that thought they might have a chance when it came to Shohei, and they didn't. And so I don't know if is that a valid excuse for why your team is not performing the way the fans would want it to perform?
No, because there were other players you could have went and gone after. I mean, Juan Soto, you would have had a trade. I think you would have had a trade for him. But, a lot of people try to throw their money at Shohei and. At least you try. That's the way I look at it. If it's real and you really did, we do it like with the Patriots here. If you're willing to invest in Brandon Ayuk, why not pick up the phone and call Dallas? Or why not pick up the phone and call whatever disgruntled wide receiver is out there that you can get?
I mean, Shohei, I think right up to the end, had 2-1 odds that he went to Toronto, Curtis, if I remember correctly.
The most silent big story in the history of American sports. It's unbelievable.
All right. Well, that is They Said It. A quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Coming up, we will get to Courtney in today's news. Also, we were talking a little bit about the Celtics yesterday and about Bezos. And Wiggy was excited about Bezos.
Yep.
Because of the new stadium. I ended up having a conversation with the mayor of Everett, who cannot, to save his life, get a stadium over there for the Revolution, and told him that I wanted him to call the show. So we're going to chat with him quickly about why there is not a stadium, or the legislature won't get a stadium over there now, coming up before we get to the news. So we'll just do that next.
WEEI. You're waking up with the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Run, runner, run, runner. Going faster, miles an hour. Gonna drive fast and stop and show up. With the radio on. I'm in love with Massachusetts. And the neon when it's cold outside.
It seems like if they had interest at some point, the interest in the Fenway Sports Group buying the Boston Celtics has waned. It appears this morning, Curtis, that they will no longer be bidders.
Right, and I think the reason I surmised that Sam was not answering the question you posed last week because he didn't want to talk about their interest. My guess is that Wick, and that John Henry did his friend Wick a solid by feigning interest as an attempt to boost the Bezos purchase price.
Yeah, it seems like Bezos stands alone right now. I mean, I'm sure that there are others who have interests that we have not heard about, but he certainly has the deepest pockets so far. I don't know that Bezos is going to buy this team if he is not assured by the city of Boston that he can get himself a new Amazon arena that the Celtics can play in. And so in discussing new arenas, I thought it might be interesting to speak with the mayor of Everett this morning as they continue to try to find a way to get a new stadium for the Revolution to play in over there. Mayor Carlo DeMaria joins us this morning. Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning. Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Wiggy. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Speaking of Wiggy, before we get to the meat of the matter, I want to get to the chicken of the matter. If Wiggy were to go get a chicken parm in Everett, where would be the place that he should go, Mr. Mayor?
You know what? I would say probably Fratelli's at Encore.
Okay.
Probably would be the best place to go.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, we've lost a lot of our Italian restaurants in Everett. You know, we're a gateway city, always been a city of immigrants. And a lot of the Italians have moved out of the city, and we have new residents moving in. And so Italian food probably isn't one of the best options to when you come to Everett to think about anymore. You know, we have a lot of great other ethnic restaurants to choose from. But Chicken Palm, go to Fratelli's at Encore. You won't be disappointed. They do a great job there.
They got good roast beef out there, though, in Everett.
The North Shore.
Yeah, Mike's roast beef. Yeah.
So from your perspective, why are we not celebrating the fact that there's going to be a new stadium for the Revolution in Everett?
You know, We all have our ideas why. You know, for me, it's just really, it's unfortunate. We have a blighted, contaminated, defunct power plant sitting on the doorstep of the city of Everett across the street from a $2 billion resort. It's all in Everett. We need the special legislation to remove this power plant from DPA, which DPA basically, it protected the maritime uses way back when fishing industry was being threatened. Of course, we don't have that anymore. There is no maritime use at this parcel. Again, like I said, the parcel is blighted, contaminated, empty, not generating any jobs or taxes. You know, and like the Monsanto chemical plant across the street that was left empty for 60-plus years by Monsanto. It took a private developer, Wynn, to come and clean it up, spent $100 million to clean it up, restore access to the waterfront, built the beautiful waterfront parks and all that. Same thing here. We need a private company, a private family, whatever you want to call it, an organization that has the ability to not seek funds from the, you know, it'd be nice to get some funds from the federal government to help clean up some of these parcels, but an organization that can come in, clean up, build a beautiful facility, you know, spend close to $1 billion, right? Mm-hmm. $700 million, which right now, a lot of union men and women are on the door, are sitting at home today because there's no work out there, right? No one's borrowing money. No one's building because interest rates, inflation, cost of construction. But you have somebody who's willing to spend $700 million, $800 million to build a facility that will generate jobs, income for the city of Everett, and not only that, build out the transit system. You know, everyone says, oh, parking, cars, right? So they're doing White Stadium. 10,000 spectators in that area. I don't know what the structure, the system there is with traffic and transportation and so forth. But here you have the Encore shuttles that run from all the different T stations. You have the pedestrian footbridge that, you know, hopefully we're getting out the door soon. That's going to connect Assembly Row T station over to the Encore Casino, connects the Northern Strand Bike Trail. People in the North Shore know about the Northern Strand Bike Trail. It will connect, so basically you can walk over the bridge to the facility, to the game, to the casino, to the stadium. Mm-hmm. You have commuter rail tracks, right? Commuter rail train that drives through Everett, doesn't stop in Everett. The only city in the inner core not connected by transit. We're a gateway city. We're an environmental justice community. We're a majority-minority community. Everyone talks about equity and talks about, oh, you know, we're all about, all. No one's about that, because you know what, if there everyone was about that, we would have transit connectivity in Everett. We'd have people wanting to remove this power plant from DPA and build a facility that could generate taxes that we need. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when taxes go up, rents go up, so mortgages go up.
To be clear, Mr. Mayor, The crafts are willing to do this. They're willing to pay for it.
Yeah, they're willing to pay for it. They're willing to do it. They want to do it. Robert wants to do it. You know, I mean, the limited conversations I had with him, you know, it's a real legacy project for him. You know, he would love to get it done. You know, he likes the city of Everett. You know, he likes the people here. You know, I mean, listen, it's going to be a great venue space. I understand, right? There's people in the area that are probably a little worried, right? Oh, they're going to be competing for entertainers coming in. Well, I'm sorry. This is like America. This, you know, this competition. Yeah. I mean, we need competition. Uh-huh. Good for the consumer. Yeah. You know, if you know.
So you're talking about. You're suggesting that the issue may be when it comes to the city of Boston, that you have concerts that happen at a venue in the summer, and that there may be some whispering going on saying we don't want a competitive venue in Everett down the street when it comes to concerts.
You know, Greg, you know, that's what you just said. So, I mean, I can't understand why this is. I am hopeful. I'm glad that the governor called the Senate and the House back in. You know, my senator, Senator DiDomenico, has been working really hard to try to get this done. You know, at one time it passed the House, then it didn't pass the Senate. You know, now it's we need to get it done. We need to kind of move forward here. Never, we're at a standstill. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing too is, I want to leverage this development with public transit. I want to create that, you know, center lane, bus lane from mm-hmm. Everett to North Station, right? So, you know, down Rutherford Ave, connecting the city of Everett to Boston on a one-seat ride, right? And then you can bring that transit connection all the way up to Route 1. I mean, well, you really could do a lot of...
Don't forget, when it comes to Wiggy getting over there, don't forget the e-bikes. Like, you got to have e-bike. Wiggy would like to ride an e-bike over.
You could do an e-bike from Charlestown.
From North Station, so yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I rode my bike to Northeastern every day as a student. Every day, from Everett.
So, with no bike. You are... you're hopeful that the legislature will do something. You are asking, yep. you're asking why they won't. And for those who are interested, then they should reach out and say, why don't we get this? We want this stadium here. And it makes a lot of sense. That's the message. Am I correct about that?
Yeah. Yeah. It makes a ton of sense, right? Who wants to look at a blighted, contaminated, defunct power plant on their yep. doorstep in their city? Nobody right. wants to see that anymore.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for checking in. I think it is of interest when you look at the Celtics
mm-hmm.
and I think it's clear that if you're going to buy the Celtics for $6 billion,
right,
which is what the NBA apparently wants it to be, not 4.5, which is the value, but the mm-hmm. NBA wants it to be $6 billion,
which they'll get.
You think so?
Oh, yes. That franchise?
I guess there. So Bill Simmons suggests, Curtis, that there are two expansion franchises coming to the NBA, and they want to charge $6 billion for each of them.
Okay.
So in order to do that, mm-hmm. the NBA has to have the Celtics sell for $6 billion.
That's why I like Bezos, because
do you think if you can't get it, my question is, mm-hmm. and a roundabout way of getting there, if you can't get a stadium in Everett
uh-huh.
that the Crafts are willing to pay for, do you think that Bezos is going to get a competitive stadium in Boston?
Well, I think I think so, because what he said is that you need an investor to come in and be willing to clean out that area.
Are willing to do it.
I don't know if they were, then he maybe would have said that they're willing to clean it and do everything. They're willing to invest.
Didn't he say they were willing to come up with $800 million or whatever the number is?
For the stadium, though.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the infrastructure around
it. Okay, well, they didn't make the mess.
Right, but I guess the point that I'm trying to say is if you're Bezos and you come in and you go, let's use Everett, for example. Not only will I fund the arena with my own money, I'll clean up it, and I'll help with the infrastructure for travelers to get to the stadium,
yeah.
and I'm willing to spend my own money to do that. I think then people are like, okay, if he's willing to do that, he's got that type of money, we're all for it.
And my frustration, and my good friend and colleague, Governor Healey, who I love, I wish she would get engaged with a more hands-on approach for things like this,
yeah.
because we need to continue our development so our state is growing in the right direction. We need to incentivize businesses of all kinds to come here, stay here, and employ people here. And it's just so frustrating that our legislature does nothing but say no. It's like our promotional department, with all due respect. Like, every idea, great idea, can't do it. Okay, so let's just do nothing. But you know what I'm saying? At some point, mm-hmm. you just say, okay, I'm going to go to New Hampshire, or I'm right. going to go to Georgia, or I'm going to go wherever.
And that's yeah. probably what Bezos will do, or whoever buys the Celtics. Nobody's spending $6 billion and going, okay, I got to rent. No way.
Oh, no, they're not.
They go, I'll spend...
Because why wouldn't Bezos just buy the expansion team?
Right.
Or he would go, I'll spend $6 billion, but guess what? I'm moving the team someplace, whether that is like to New Hampshire, and I'll build a mega stadium over there or mega arena.
I don't want Bezos to own the team. I don't want it. I know you do. I don't.
He's just
got deep pockets.
It's going to happen.
You are, really?
Yep.
Because he's got the most money.
Yeah.
He can outbid everybody. And the one thing we know works in Boston, kashish.
Yeah.
Would you buy the team if you knew you couldn't build an arena?
All right. And that's the issue.
So if somebody who doesn't have Bezos' type of cash, they might go, I would love to buy the team, but I don't have the extra money to be able to say, oh, I'm one out the lease and I'm building an arena.
I just ask that Bezos keeps Rob Hale somehow involved. That's all I ask.
I would hope so. All right, we're going to take a break. We will get to Courtney and today's news next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man.
Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.